My wife and I were married 66 years. She passed away in 2021 in April, and they were wonderful years together. However, how God got us together was an absolute miracle. She was a ballerina and a soprano with the opera in St. Louis, and I was working cattle and trapping mink and muskrat down the swamps of southeast Texas. How God got us together was a miracle. And he did it because we prayed. I was praying. I was pastoring 2 halftime churches while I was a student at Nacogdoches, Stephen F. Austin State University. I was preaching at 2 halftime churches and then a black church on Friday night. And all that mixture and work, I was praying, Lord, I need a wife. And God sent me one. I gave him dimensions, and he sent half of what I wanted, but it was really all I could handle. Anyway, we learned some stuff about being married. We came from such varied backgrounds, but there were some things that we learned that I'd like to share with you. I call them hints for a happy marriage. There are 14 things that I'd like to share with you. Number one, if she is in your house, in your kitchen, and in your bed, she better be the only one in your arms, in your heart, and in your eyes, and on your mind. You've got to stay concentrated on the one you love. The second thing, oh man, it's communication. The normal male uses about 25,000 words in a day. The normal female uses over 40,000 words in a day. Now, you may have used up all your words at work, but when you come home, she may just be getting started on her 40,000 because she's been to the kids all day. So listen to her. It pays off at bedtime. Oh boy. Well, number three, 100% of a preschool girl's utterances are intelligible words. That's good. Good communication. But 40% of a preschool boy's utterances are room, bang, bang, pow, pop, crash. So when you say something to your husband, ladies, and all he does is answer you with a grunt, don't be upset. He's using 40% of his vocabulary. Just bear with him. Number four, you married your mate, not your mom or dad. Don't expect your mate to act like the family you left to form the family you have. Believe me, there are a lot of changes, but adapt to it because it's wonderful. Earlier in the book, this is number 5, I referred to Malachi chapter 2, where God says he hates divorce and the breaking of promises you made in your wedding vows. Well, I want to reemphasize this fact and urge you to get back together if you're having trouble. Get back together spiritually, emotionally, and physically instead of divorcing. Please don't make God mad. He hates divorce. It's not worth it. And it's very dangerous. And if you have children, it is absolutely devastating. I can speak from firsthand experience, having gone through 3 divorces with my family by the time I was 14. Well, women ask me sometimes, when do men get over this sex thing? Well, they don't. I'm 77 years old. And if they do, it must be sometime after 77. So enjoy it because it keeps the embers of romance glowing and the warmth in your marriage. Senior adult sex is a tremendous pleasure and a well-kept secret. Oh boy. Number 7, my wife says that she's learned if you keep him happy, you'll keep him at home. And that's great to work with, ladies. Now, number 8 is another communication style, I guess. Women love with their ears. Men love with their eyes and hands. No matter what you do to express your love to your wife, brother, you must tell her verbally, out loud, that you love her. You may pat, squeeze, hug, kiss, and buy her all kinds of presents. All of these are helpful and they're encouraging to her. And yet, until she hears you say you love her, nothing will have the full impact. Then there's number 9. A woman should work at keeping herself as attractive as possible and appreciate her husband's loving caresses and touches and not shrink away. I remember my wife, bless her heart, we were married 50 years. She stepped into her wedding dress and zipped it up because she had majored on keeping herself beautiful for me. It was a wonderful thing to have such a beautiful wife for so long. But she majored on that to help me remember that she loved me enough to take care of herself for me. Now, number 10, men, remember when you're tempted to look at another woman that your wife is watching you. When your eyes sweep up and down another woman from her nose to her toes, your wife is aware of you undressing her with your eyes. Friends, the only safe place to look when you're talking or meeting with another woman is to look at her eyes. I learned this lesson from my 13-year-old daughter. One day she said, "Daddy, you're not a looker." I said, "Well, I think I look pretty good." She said, "No, I mean, you don't look at other women than mother and scan them from head to foot." I said, "No." She said, "John's not a looker either." That's our son. And I thought, my goodness, I never had any idea that my daughter was watching us. But here again, the only safe place to look at another woman is in the eyes. Number 11, it's very important that you tell your wife that you love her every day and many times every day. It's important for two reasons. First, it blesses her, makes her glow with happiness. Boy, she is loved. And it encourages her to be more beautiful than ever just for you. The other thing is, secondly, it reminds you how much you love your wife and prevents you from being tempted by another woman. Believe me, you'll need the encouragement that from her that she is your love, but she needs to be encouraged that you love her too, so desperately, so fully. Number 12, as I've previously mentioned in this book I've written, if your mate does things that you do not like or things that irritate you, talk to them about it. Don't talk to your family or friends about it. Communicate the problem to them with love and gentleness. A good way to approach differences and irritations, which I found, is to approach it with love and as a question. Don't degrade them with others or detract from their acceptance with your family by criticizing them. If the problem cannot be resolved, then simply accept it as a part of the package and get over it. Be thankful for all the other blessings that have come with your mate. I mentioned this again because it's so important. Often I'd have to say, "Honey, I wonder, why do you always do so-and-so?" Her famous phrase was, "Are you sure?" After every paragraph, "Are you sure?" I got to where it bothered me, and so I said, "Why, is that important?" She says, "Well, number one, it's a habit I've formed. The other thing is I want to know if it's really true." And I said, "Okay, dear, that's fine. I just needed to know." And I accepted it because really, believe me, the rest of the package was worth it. Mm. Well, number 13 is refrain from downing each other, even in a teasing manner. Downing people, even in humor, weakens the bonds of unity in your marriage. I'm a humorist. I speak after dinner lots of times from different things and tell jokes and stories. And one day after I finished, my wife came to me and said, "Honey, please don't tell mother-in-law jokes or wife jokes." I said, "Why, sugar?" She said, "It makes me feel bad." That was enough. I stopped. Cut those jokes completely out of my vocabulary. For you see, downing even in humor weakens the bonds of unity in your marriage. So avoid husband and wife jokes and in-law jokes that demean the person. That's so important. I can't stress it enough. Number 14, remember when you marry, you're not a perfect person, and you are marrying a person who is not perfect either. You will see strengths and weaknesses in your mate. It's our human tendency to see the weaknesses first, because we are viewing them through the lenses of our strength. Your mate is doing the same thing. Both of you must realize that you must emphasize and build up each other's positive attributes and strengths. Remember, God has given you the privilege and opportunity to cover your mate's weaknesses with your strengths. Dr. L and I discovered this early in our marriage. I'm a creative thinker and a visionary. She's a detailed organizer. When I would dream up some activity or project, she would tell me how to proceed in organizing and conducting the operation for success. Just remember, you're a team and not competitors. You're to play to each other's strengths in order to have a winning team. And remember this, if you have a problem, take it to God. You and your mate are under the wings of the Lord, and seek His answer to your problem if it is a conflict. And another thing, don't ever let a problem get between you and the Lord. That's the way Satan does it. You get on the Lord's side of every problem, and then He will work out the answer for you. It's just one of those things that's extremely important, and I want you to know about it. Well, I've taken you through the most intimate and personal experiences of my married life, experiences that have made me the man I am today. And my life has not been easy, but it's been victorious. I felt at times that God has placed me in the furnace to soften my metal so I can be malleable to the hammer and anvil of experience to shape me into the man He wants me to be. In the scriptures, this is referred to as the refiner's fire. I've learned to embrace the refiner's fire to be made into a man that God can use. In my previous book, Walking with God in Broken Places, and Lessons I Learned Along the Way, I've shared a part of that journey, that marvelous journey that God has let me take. Pray for me. I'm now 87, and I just want to finish well. God bless you.